Welcome to a first ever podcast for the Africa Green Collar Project, Africa's first podcast to rethink sustainability by engaging students, professionals, student movements, and organizations working in sustainability. On our first Sustainable Sunday on Energy, we're speaking to Brand Kakembo, the founder of the Waste to Energy Youth Initiative in Uganda. We talked to him about his project that is reshaping the face of energy and creating opportunities for youth in Uganda. I am your host, Churchill Omondi Agutu, for the next half hour, so listen in and hopefully you will learn something new. Thank you so much for joining us on the Africa Green Collar Project. I am your host, Churchill Omondi Agutu. Today, we're joined by Brian Kakembo, who is speaking to us from Kampala, Uganda. Brian and I met during the Student Energy Summit held in Mexico this year. And so today, we're going to talk about his Waste to Energy Youth Project. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Churchill.
Okay, to start off, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes, Churchill. I'm a graduate. I graduated from Makerere University Business School, and I did a bachelor's degree in commerce, finance major. After I graduated, I couldn't really find a job because most of the firms were saturated, so they had more than they can take. So I got a chance to attend the International Student Energy Summit in Indonesia. And in this summit, I got to interact with very many of my peers and very many people who are who have a passion for energy. And in one of the sessions, the speaker spoke about second generation bioenergy and the different elements from which this energy can be produced. And the element that caught my attention was the agro waste. So from that, I actually came up with the idea of the Waste to Energy Youth Project, which I implemented soon after returning into my country.
Okay, this is Kampala, right? Uganda. Kampala, Uganda.
Yes, in Uganda.
So, okay, so what exactly does your project involve?
Churchill, this project is basically a project that started to transform the youth of my country from consumption of wood fuel, that is wood charcoal and firewood, to consumption of briquettes, eco-friendly briquettes produced from agro-waste. Now, this is really interesting because 80% of our population in Uganda basically depends on wood fuel. And this is because they cannot afford the other sources of energy like solar, like hydro. And therefore they limit the consumption of such energies to lighting and maybe a few items such as cooking that is so limited, especially microwaving and ovens. So this has left the majority of the population to trying to use something they can afford, and that is wood fuel. So my project came in a time where we wanted to transform the whole the new generation from wood consumption to briquette consumption. And
yes,
briquettes are basically that alternative to wood fuel that is still affordable because it is produced from agro-wastes, which are gotten either at a low price or actually for free. So when you transform...
Okay, I also had a question. What exactly is agro-waste? Maybe just for clarity.
Oh, yeah, the agro-waste can include... in every farm, after harvest, there's that part of the crop that you need, and then there's that part of the crop that you don't need. Usually, most people prefer to leave it in the garden to rot and it forms manure, but that takes a long time. Some go even up to 6 months to turn into manure. But what we do is we shorten the time for which the person can receive value from this waste by purchasing it as soon as he finishes removing the valuable part. We purchase the part he doesn't feel is valuable. We give it value, then use it, dry it, carbonize it, and use it to make a briquette.
Oh, so do you buy the waste? You basically buy the agri-waste from farmers or anyone who does not use it?
Yes. Now, our intention was to also give value to agricultural waste so that we create another element from which agriculture sector can generate income. So we did not want to deprive the farmers of a value, because most of them would claim that if I left my wastes in the garden, they will give me manure, but it will be a very long term. It's a long term thing. So giving him value, instant value, is better than him waiting for over 6 months for that manure. So when you give him instant value, he can purchase manure, and then it will shorten the agriculture process. And it will also help us because it will provide us a cheap source of a raw material to generate our briquettes.
Briquettes.
Yes.
Okay. And so far in terms of, because it's a youth project, so have you had the opportunity to impact anyone's lives through your project?
Oh, that is actually an interesting question. Yes. Ever since we started in 2015, we have so far trained over 600 youth. It was actually, by the end of last year, it was about 200. But now within this year alone, we have made up to 600, because we have had different occasions. We have had seminars within the community from which we train youth. And then we, since our program is based in a university and a secondary school, we have had access to very many of the students within the school. So we designed an extra school curriculum for which we used to train these students. This curriculum basically has the practical skills. It has the entrepreneurial skills, where we don't want to leave someone hanging. We don't want to give you the practical skills and leave you hanging. So we give you the entrepreneurial skills. Okay. We teach you how to develop a business model. We teach you how to implement the business module, how to draw up a business plan, how to draw up a business proposal, and how to pitch it to an investor. We give you all those details, and how to market your product, how to get more clients on board, and how to even convince people to transform from wood fuel to briquettes.
Okay, and now that you've talked about this course, is it something that is it working in parallel with the school? Is it like an extracurricular activity, or is it actually a subject that students have to do?
Yeah, that is very interesting. Yeah, we actually implement it as an extracurricular activity, but for some of the subjects within the school, they have always been giving this space to such projects. For example, the entrepreneurial subject, entrepreneurship. There is a subject within the normal education curriculum called entrepreneurship, where they have been teaching this already, but they haven't been teaching this part of this project. So we just incorporated it within the subject so that it just flows for those students who already offer it. And for those that don't offer that subject, they have it as an extracurricular activity, which is organized by the two institutions.
Okay, thank you so much. So basically, your idea was to come up with a way to produce briquettes, as to move people from wood to fuels, but then it's grown into this opportunity where you're educating more youth to sort of to build this briquettes, but also get more skills such as business, marketing, entrepreneurship in general. That is really, really great, Brian. I think also the next thing I wanted to talk about was, from your own experience, are there some gaps from your own project that you've seen that other youth can also be involved in? If anyone is considering maybe doing a project like the Waste to Energy Youth Project, what aspects do you think in different parts of Africa students can consider sort of to do in order to be involved in such a project?
Churchill, we actually have a lot of gaps. In any project, we always have those gaps, those challenges that really give us a run for our money. Now, in my project, we have been having a very big challenge with the mindset of people. People in my country have this really, really fixed mindset that they should, that charcoal is cheaper, charcoal is more effective, charcoal is this. And this has been giving us a bit of a setback in the project, because we try to teach our youth that the market is there, as long as you know how to talk to the people. But if the people are not yet ready to change their minds, it brings in a bit of challenge. So that's why we need people in the social sciences area, because they know how to talk to the people. Then they have studied and understood the way to approach people and talk to them. We need people in the PR studies, public relations studies, because they know how to talk to people. Yes. We also need people who are in journalism and maybe mass communication, because they know how to communicate to people. We also need engineers, because they know how to read the production process, how to reduce costs in the production process. Basically, Churchill, what I'm trying to say is that this project is open to all youth who want
everyone,
to.
Everyone, yes.
Yeah, because every youth has a contribution he can make or she can make, because it's an open project with people from education, people from finance. I basically did finance. I didn't really do much of energy, but you find that I started this project even without the knowledge of energy. I started my project and picked up on the knowledge on the way. And now I have this big project, and it's actually grown so big that it has employed and included very many of those other fields. So everyone is welcome.
That's so interesting. There's something that you mentioned right now. You said that for a lot of youth, there's this perception that coal is cheaper.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how much does it cost? Is coal cheaper relative to the briquettes? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's actually not. But people just have an already fixed perception. Actually, in my country, briquettes tend to be the cheapest source of energy. But since the idea of briquettes was brought in my country a time back, the first people who brought it at a high level, it was the form of charcoal for the high class, the elite class by then. So most people thought it was actually supposed to be for the elites and is actually expensive, and yet the truth behind it is actually very cheap.
Okay, so basically it was overpriced initially.
Yeah, it was overpriced initially.
Okay, and in terms of employment, because you said you've employed a lot of youth, what are some of the jobs that some of the youth are doing with you in the project?
Yes. Yeah, we have all the departments, starting from the production department, where there are two youth that handle the machinery. Then in this department, we also have those that are catering for the packaging and the drying part and the packaging of the briquettes. Those are other two. Then we have a department of procurement and finance. Those ones purchase the raw materials, and those that take care of the finances, the receipts of the sales and basically payment of salaries. And then we have the marketing and sales team. That's my best team, because I like them.
Okay.
They actually do most of the work, because they go into supermarkets, they go into markets, food markets. They go far. Even some go door to door and get customers. Mm-hmm. So that is the most important department, the best department. And then we have a new department. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This department is basically on the institutional briquette stove. This is actually one of the most amazing things that has come out of this project. We realized that 80% of the wood fuel consumption is actually by the big institutions such as schools, universities, hospitals, and prisons. And
mm-hmm.
this is because there has not been an alternative for them. It's the cheapest. Firewood has been the cheapest source of energy for them, source of cooking energy. So they have never had an alternative. So this is because their stoves, they had never designed briquette stoves for them.
For wood?
Yes. For
theirs were designed for wood.
All of them were designed for wood. So recently, in our research with Ndeje University, we designed and implemented the first highly energy efficient stove for briquettes, and it was successful, and the results were really, really amazing. Because
that's great.
When we implemented it at Senchisto High School Namugongo, we realized that a school of a 700 student population can actually use 3,000 kilos of briquettes the whole term. A whole term is like a whole semester.
Wow.
In case for the secondary section. So
okay, and how long does the normal firewood, how much firewood do they use per term?
They used to use about 7 trucks, and each truck was about 700,000 Ugandan shillings. But if you compute all the 7 trucks, that's about 4.9 million Ugandan shillings. But right now, they're using 3,000 kilograms, which is 3 million Ugandan shillings. Therefore, they are saving about 1.9 million Ugandan shillings from this concept, from consuming the briquettes. So they are making a financial saving.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, 8 of their cooking employees are no longer exposed to the indoor air pollution that was caused
the
by
health.
Burning firewood.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's
an amazing transmission. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, if I get this right, you basically, the briquette idea is what gave birth to the stove, the idea of designing a stove, and you came up with one that actually worked, that not only saves money for all these institutions, but has health benefits, and you're not only changing the system, you're actually changing the fuel as well.
Yes, that's right. So the whole idea was to make sure we reduce the firewood and maybe charcoal consumption that all the institutions are using, and we're providing for them that one missing gap that was there, that one missing link for them to transition.
Oh, okay. And just out of curiosity, I think one of the biggest things that I know even from the project that we did in Mexico, we did a project in Zavala where we built efficient cooking stoves for the firewood. And remember, one of the things they talked about was how you need to design it to almost the lifestyle or to the way people live. So was that a challenge that your project faced when they were designing the cooking stove specifically? Or was it just you can substitute it here and it works?
The biggest challenge within designing this stove was the fact that they are used to a system where it uses one kind of energy.
Yes.
The previous stoves were using basically the firewood. You just push in the firewood when it's lit and then it just goes. But this stove is actually a briquette stove that also uses an element of solar, a solar fan. So this, So the solar fan is supposed to accelerate the fire within the briquettes. So that element of solar adds in the efficiency, because even if there is no solar fan, the stove will work and it will work perfectly. But the fact that we wanted to make it more efficient than firewood, so that the person cooks in less time, cleaner, and even with less fuel, we added in the solar element. Now, this solar element is a very, very big advantage, because the food that used to be cooked in 2 hours is now cooked in 1 hour. So that time save is very big. It's very, very big that the employees can actually do alternative jobs or alternative activities to supplement on the activities they were doing previously.
Okay, and can you use it at night? Because I'm just assuming that when the sun is not there, what happens? Is it just a normal stove?
The thing is, we designed this stove to adapt to the people in Uganda, and the people in Uganda don't cook at night. They basically So, and since it's an institutional stove, institutions don't cook during nighttime. They usually prepare the food once during day and just warm it for the later hours, because most of the institutions eat by 6 p.m. They are eating
in the evening. Yes.
Yeah. So it's okay. It basically works during the day, but even at night it works, because the solar charges the battery, and the battery stores that energy, and then it powers the fan.
It's at night. Yeah. Okay. I think congratulations on this project, and that's a great job that you've done. This is the kind of inspiration we're trying to give the youth. So great job, and I hope that the project continues to evolve and to grow. But I think another thing we should talk about is the fact that, I mean, we can look at how it's become so big, but like you said, it's just started from an idea. So what are some of the, in terms of like a team, in terms of what are the things that you really needed to start this project? Did you get any support from organizations, from supervisors, from students?
Yes, Churchill. When I started, I actually started this really, really small. I went to very many, of course, I tried very many avenues of financing, and they actually failed. I actually told this to the people during the Changemakers panel in Mexico. I told them I started this thing, and I went to places thinking it will be big in a very short time and everyone will see how big it is, but it actually doesn't work that way. I had to actually reduce my expectations and try to start from the ground going up. And luckily, I actually came into contact with the professors of Ndeje University, and they picked this up and they found interest in it, and they saw a research opportunity. All universities have a primary role of research and implementation in communities. So when they saw this, they saw a gap, and they saw a young man trying to figure out something that is that is amazing to them. So they took up this opportunity and they took on my research. We developed the first energy center in Deje, and we started researching from the basic briquette that was existing on the market and trying to improve it so much that we reduced the cost of production so that the price goes down and it's affordable by everyone in the country, and yet the quality is going up. So that is what I aimed at. And when I aimed at that, other things came along, like the stoves, the different training opportunities for other youth, the different exhibitions, the conferences that we have held, the exhibitions that we have held, all that came along. But it's because I took it step by step, and I got I got partnerships, I got friends, colleagues to join me. And the best thing about this is that it took innovative volunteerism to pick this up. Someone has to volunteer and give their skill without expecting much back, because initially when the project is starting, it doesn't have that much money or it doesn't even have money at some point. So you must be innovative and you must be willing to volunteer your time, your skill, your knowledge, aiming at the future, but not earning from it at that very moment.
Okay, so it really demands a lot of passion, because from what I'm getting you saying, at the beginning, it really needs, like, you need to be into it, you need to want to achieve, and, you know, you may not necessarily want to do it for financial gain, for instance. It's just to create impact.
Yes, and that is how you accumulate the team that works with you. You must get people that have the passion for it, people that know what it has in the future, but not what it will give them at that very point. They must be able to volunteer and then know that they will earn better in the future in the project.
Okay, and to conclude, from your project so far, what have you learned from pursuing it? What's the biggest lesson you've taken from it?
My biggest lesson is that if you ever want to be a leader in energy in Africa, if you ever want to lead a transition, you must be able to understand the people. You must be able to understand the end consumer of this energy. It must be the first thing. The first rule is it must be affordable. The biggest challenge that is affecting most of the other energies like solar, like wind, it's not affordable to the people. And the biggest population is like 85% cannot really afford this. So we are giving them something they can afford. And that is why our project is really, really taking off so fast. It's because we are giving them something they want, something they can afford. And something that is very, very similar to what they have been using. It meets all the needs, all their expectations. So they know they want it, and we provide something they know that they want.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brian, for giving us such an insightful talk and giving us so much knowledge on waste to energy for youth. We made sure that we've put some links on this SoundCloud to ensure that you can sort of get some lessons on basically how you can make these briquettes. Brian, you said that you've not actually put up the lessons that you guys are teaching online yet, right?
Yes, we haven't yet put them online, but we have started. We started teaching them within the institution, both at Ndeje University and St. Chiso High School. We are still offering them. Physically within the institution, but we'll soon get online programs if the university permits.
Okay, but thank you so much, Brian. For the listeners, please follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle is Green Collar Africa. Our Facebook page is the Africa Green Collar Project, and our SoundCloud account is also the Africa Green Collar Project. Thank you so much. And we look forward to sharing more stories from students, professionals, and organizations working in sustainability. Thanks. Bye, Brian.